The Constitution was based on biblical terms, amen. If what history, if that's what I was taught in school is correct, then that's how this all took place. Amen. So I just believe wholeheartedly that we ought to get our praise on anywhere we're at. I don't have a problem with it. And I'm not saying that I know anybody in here that does. Just merely ask a question. I guess what I'm saying is that you need to be bold. You need to come forth and let people understand what we do when we are Christians, what it's all about. That's the only way we're going to get people saved, is to share the word. Because, you know, if we allow the Lord to work through us, then he'll do the rest of the work for us. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what I believe anyway. Go ahead, guys. I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. We have hope that his promises are true, and his strength there is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that moves mountains. tithes, it come time right here that we can gladly give to the Lord. Amen. You know, I remember it used to be when we used to take the offering up, everybody would just get up and just give freely. You know that? And not saying that you don't give freely now. That ain't what I'm trying to say. It took me a long time to understand why you paid your tithes. That's a small price to pay for what God gave you. Amen? Well, now you think about that. That's a very small price to pay. So I used to hear people shout and just really, really get loud when we took up the offering. And I think that's a great thing. You know that? I remember Ben Ramey, she was set right there, and I mean, she would let it rock. And that's a good thing. So guys, it's an awesome thing when we give to God. Amen. So Heavenly Father, just thank you right now for the givers, Lord. I know you take care of these people, Lord God, like you take care of everything else, Lord. And I just thank you for blessing them and just making everything grand for them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Did I do it wrong, Kenzie?
No, you just didn't let me know. I don't know what I'm doing.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. Now there's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. You see, Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise. I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. I will rise.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, praise and worship team. We are blessed, aren't we?
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Everybody's going to stay in the sanctuary today, and we're going to get a quick word from the Lord. And amen. Hallelujah. Today we're going to be talking about a wild man. We're going to be talking a man that was out of control and who had an encounter with Jesus that changed his life. Aren't you glad today, if you're here and you're saved today, aren't you glad the day that you had an encounter with Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. People had given up on him and said, you know, literally, well, there's no hope for him. But there's always hope in Jesus. So never give up. Amen. You just keep on believing and keep on believing. Turn your Bibles to Mark 5. We're going to be reading 1 through 20. And we're going to be talking about this wild man that was out of control. The Bible tells us in Mark 1:20, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had been often bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. All the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. The unclean spirits went out, entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place of the sea and drowned. Those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed, and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then that really gets people to talking, wouldn't it? Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon, who had been, because of an encounter with Jesus, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled at what was done. The power of God to change lives. He that was. When God saved you, he gave you a new name. Amen. When he saved you, he gave you a new name. You are blessed. So next time you meet somebody, you say, you're blessed of the Lord. Next time you meet somebody, you say, you hail to the Lord. The next time you encounter someone, say, you are highly favored of God. Amen. So God gave him a new name. In Mark chapter 5, we see, when we begin to read chapters 4 through 5, we begin to read and have evidences of the great power of Jesus. And we read about how he had power over nature as he calmed the storm and the raging sea in 4 and 41. We read about the power of God over disease. There was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Doctors could do nothing to help her. But with the touch of Jesus, she was healed. Amen. We see his power over death when he restored life to a 12-year-old girl. And time again in the scriptures, when Jesus was walking the earth, he confronted the devil and the influence of demons. We don't talk much about that in the church anymore. But the influence of the evil one is real. Amen. Just as there is influence of good, there is influence of evil. And it's not scary to talk about because we know in whom we believe. And we are fully persuaded. Amen. And the same authority, we're talking about the authority of Jesus here, but that same authority is being given to us as a church. We have that authority now as we walk this earth. That when we go and there's anything out of order, has to come into order if we choose to believe that that authority is in us and begin to act on that authority. Amen? The same power is in you today. So each time we see Jesus having complete control over the forces of evil at his spoken word. That's why it's so important that we watch the words of our mouth, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we'll begin to walk around and use that authority. At our spoken word, things are out of order. Contrary to the word, has to come in order. When we believe and we begin to exercise that authority that has been given to us as born-again believers. Amen? So from the wild sea that was completely out of control that you began to read about, Mark moves on and he begins to tell us about a wild man that was completely out of control. So there's times in our life when some of us were really out of our right mind. And aren't you glad that God brought order? Amen? That God brought order to our lives. And we look at both situations in the natural. If we look at it through a human perspective, both were out of control and it seemed impossible that this could ever be brought under control again. Whatever is controlled out of your life, if you have children that are running wild and crazy, if you have somebody you're believing God for, don't quit believing.
Right.
Never, ever, ever quit believing. Amen. Because by the power of the Holy Ghost, the authority of the Word, the blood of Jesus, he can be brought under control. Amen. Amen. So both are out of control in the natural. Things can may look like there's no hope. But there is hope in God. So that's why you never give up. You never quit praying. You never quit believing. You never quit hoping. And so you can just look at your neighbor right now and say, but Jesus. But Jesus. When Jesus stepped out of that boat, authority stepped out. Amen? When Jesus stepped out of that boat, authority stepped out. And every demon in that region began to fear and tremble because authority stepped out. And that's what you need to do when you get up in the morning. You need to hear the devil say, oh my goodness, they're up. Amen. Because you've got to understand the authority that we have as a body of believers. As Christians today, that we're not exercising. God has given us dominion. Adam and Eve lost it. Jesus brought it back and gave it to us. Amen. We have dominion power in this earth right now that we are not using. It's not that it's not there. We are just not exercising it. Amen. It's like our muscles. The less you use them, the more dormant they become and less effective they become. But the more you use them, the stronger they get. That's the way it is with our faith. And when we begin to exercise their authority in the earth. So Jesus is able to calm a raging sea, if he was to do for a woman what a doctor could not do, if he was able to raise a little girl that was dead, if he was able to confront evil spirits time and time again, I'm in here to encourage somebody today that you're in good hands with Jesus. Allstate ain't got nothing.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. All state ain't got nothing compared to being in the hands of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. Because man will fail you.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, I'll never fail you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I've come to tell somebody today that he's the best insurance that you can have.
That's right.
So you're in good hands with Jesus, and you're in a good place today to get a good dose of him. Amen. And a good dose of the word. So you know the commercial, you're in good hands with all that. Well, you're in good hands with Jesus. So get ready, get ready. Your deliverance is here. Amen. So let us take a look at the man that needed a touch from Jesus. He was a wild man. He was out of control. And that's what sin does in our life. Jesus hates sin because he knows what he can do to you, but he loves the sinner. He loves you in spite of all the stupid stuff, crazy stuff you do. He doesn't like all the crazy stuff you do because he knows what an impact and effect it can have on your life. That you won't live a quality of life on this earth that he says that you can. So let's take a look at this wild man that needed a touch from Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us that Jesus and his disciples came to the other side of the sea. No matter where you're at and no matter who you are believing God for that seems out of control, that seems out of their right mind, they're never too far away where Jesus can't reach them. He will go to them. He will go to the deepest, darkest place on this earth to find that one lost soul. Because that's how much he loved them, and that's why he died for them. So Jesus and them got in the boat and went to the other side. The word reads, when Jesus came out of the boat, immediately, there met a man with an unclean spirit. And like I said a while ago, authority stepped out of that boat. Authority stepped out of that boat.
Can I ask something to you, sir?
Yes.
How many people in here have ever had a demon cast out of them? I have. And I'm going to add this real quick because I feel led to. See, this ain't something that just used to happen. 20 years ago, I fasted and prayed for 5 days. My wife was a wreck. I was the wild man. I went to an all-night prayer meeting out on Long Valley Road. 40 people from Campbellsville. Dr. Ray Robbins, led by Jerry Bennett, who used to own Campbellsville Industries. A Humphreys lady who taught at the high school. Deacon Diane Salmon, who are still alive. Only a few of them have passed since then. Bobby and Ann Tucker, who sells cars and Ann Reynolds. These people are still alive today, and they'll tell you that they began to pray. And they began to worship the Lord. And immediately, the devil's in me began to manifest. And for 2 hours, they cast demons out of me. And when it was all over with, they put hands on me and said, receive the Holy Ghost, and I began to speak in tongues.
Amen.
20 years ago, you can go look these people up today. The talk around Campbellville was, did you hear that guy who owns Domino's had a bunch of demons cast out of him? And I'd go in the gas station, and people talked about me. And I'm talking louder than they was. Because I told everybody. I told Paul Patton at the Campbellville Christian Church, my pastor. I was a deacon in the Campbellville Christian Church when it happened, by the way. A pretty good one, I thought. Served communion, did it all like I was supposed to, went to the board meetings with the demons in me. So I'm just adding this, and I'll let you finish, to provide a real-life picture testimony that this is real. I didn't see anybody else put their hand up saying you had a demon cast out of you. So I thought I'd just let you know, I've had it happen to me. I have them in me. They're real. And I was that way, that guy. So it's not just a story from a book. It's for real. Sometimes you want to know about it, I'll tell you about it. But I just want y'all to know, this ain't just a Bible story. This stuff is real.
Yes.
And I take you to 40 or 50 people right now. The pastor of the Vineyard Church right now, Adam Russell, was a little kid when it happened. I guarantee you he can still tell you what happened that night. How the guy rolled around on the floor, crawling around, jerking, coughing and gagging. And thought I was going to die for 2 hours. Things felt like the size of a tetherball trying to come up out of my throat. Voices coming out of me. You ain't never seen a movie that gives it justice. Because I went through it. And the devils were cast out of me. And then I got loud and vocal, and I, to this day, as you can say, am not ashamed of what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
He saved me and changed me. So what she's telling you about today is real.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
And immediately there met him a man with an unclean spirit. So here was someone in great need of a Savior. Here was someone that needed help. Amen. So when someone is demon possessed, and we're going to talk about how that we're influenced by good and evil in the world. So when someone is demon possessed, when a person is demon possessed, they're not capable to separate their own consciousness and their own ideas from the influence of demons that are within them. That's when possession takes place. But so many people are just influenced by evil spirits, and we'll get on into that in a little bit later. So their own identity and that which they are possessed with are lost within each other. And we don't see a whole lot of demon possession in America because we are supposed to be a Christian nation. But in these foreign countries where they openly practice witchcraft and all these other religions, you see it more predominantly. Just talk to some of the missionaries overseas and they will tell you stories. So it's common to see that more in foreign countries. But there are those who are so influenced by evil spirits, they have a hard time coping with life. They may not be possessed, but they are greatly influenced, and they are allowing the influence of evil spirits to control them. So influence means somebody or something able to affect the course of events or somebody's thinking or action. And so when situations come along in our life and circumstances come along in our lives, the enemy will use those things and start influencing us against God and against the Word. Against God and against the Word, it causes us to start doubting. He tells us those things that are influencing us to begin to doubt what God said, to say and do crazy things that we wouldn't otherwise do. You know, when sin comes into our lives, and I was talking about it a while ago, the reason God hates sin but loves the sinner is because he knows what sin does to us. And he's already paid the price for it. So it's not that Jesus doesn't love you. It's not that you're not saved. It's not that you are not forgiven and you are going to heaven. But you will shorten your life. Amen. You will not have a quality of life that God says that you can have here on this earth. So, and the quality of life that you can have now. So when you continue to dabble in things contrary to the Word of God, you are continued allowing evil influences or the influence of evil to control you, and then pretty soon they will get a foothold in your life and you will be acting out that which has had an influence on you. So the opposite thing can be said about the goodness of God. When you begin to dabble in the goodness of God, pretty soon you're going to get in. Amen. So whatever influence that you're allowing to have the greatest impact on your life, it's what will be predominant. It is how you go about acting, how you go about receiving. It's like looking into the mirror. If you're allowing evil to be an influence in your life, then you're going to see through things through a clouded lens. But if you are allowing the Word and what the Word says to be the most predominant influence in your life, when you look into that mirror, you're going to be able to see things clearly and the way that God sees them. But this man was in really bad shape, so much the board says that the people were afraid of him. He ran around, and they couldn't even bind him with chains because he would break them off. He was so much under demon possession. No one was able to help him. This man was so possessed by these evil spirits, we also seen that his life was getting worse and worse. You know, that's the way it is when we allow evil influences. Our life will take a downward spiral, and it will go and go and go because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen? So he had been driven from his home and community, and the Bible said that he dwelled among tombs. The word dwelling there means permanent dwelling. That's where he made his life at. That's where he was at. This was a settled place for him and not just a temporary place because everybody else had cast him out. So he was thinking, this is my life, and this is where I'm to dwell at. This is my permanent home. But I have good news today. Where you're at now is not where you're always going to be. Because when Jesus steps out of the boat and authority comes into your life, things have to change. It won't be like it was. Amen? So the devil comes to steal and to destroy. He does everything to influence people to slowly destroy them. Young people that are here today, stay away from music that glorifies death. You think the music is all pumping and all you're listening to is the pump of the music? Begin to listen to what the lyrics of those songs are really saying. And that you're allowing to get into your spirit and into your mind. Amen? The word tells us this man cried out in anguish. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out. He was so much influenced by evil spirits. He had no other choice at that point. The people had cast him out. The Bible said he would injure himself. The word says he was cutting himself with stones. And the account Luke gave said that he was running around naked with no clothes on. Sin will cause you to go. When you're under the influence of evil spirits and you begin to get involved in that type of thing, it will cause you to do things and to go places that you never thought you would go. It will cause you to do things that you thought you would never do. Amen? But when you're in the influence of God, he will also cause you to go places that you never thought you would go. And he will cause you to do things that you thought you'd never do. Amen? Glory to God. So, but he lost it all. But where there is breath, there is hope. First John 3:8 says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, Jesus was brought that he might destroy, do away with, dissolve, take authority over the works of the evil one, the works of the devil. And when Jesus arrived, authority arrived, and the evil that was in that man recognized that authority. And when you rise up and begin to recognize that authority in you, evil influences will have to recognize that. And you do not receive them in the name of Jesus. So we've been given that same authority. So Jesus did for this man what he could not do for himself and what others could not do for him. So if you're under the influence of evil, he can deliver you, fill you with the Holy Ghost, and walk in power and authority that has been given to you. So then what kind of change did this man experience after authority stepped out of that boat? What kind of change? He had to change. He had no choice but to change because authority was there. Jesus was there. And when Jesus appears on the scene, things have to change. Amen. Things have to change. So after Jesus cast out the demons, the people saw him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Clothed, sitting, and in his right mind. The people could have pleaded with him, you know, quit cutting yourself on the stone. Put you some clothes on. Quit acting the way you're acting. You can plead with drug addicts. You can plead with alcoholics. You can plead with people that are living a life influenced by evil spirits. But until their heart is changed, your pleading and your begging won't do any good. They have to have an inward change for the outward behavior to change. Because it comes from the inside out and not the outside in. And when the heart begins to be changed with the Word of God, you will begin to see outward changes that are conducive to what the Word says. Amen? So the people could have pleaded with him to quit doing it. He couldn't. He was so influenced by the enemy. But when authority stepped in, things began to change. So outward changes began to happen. Because God changes a person from within. From within, and then the behavior begins to take place. So we're changed from the inside out. Verse 18 says, the man recognizes the authority of Jesus. He changes masters. This man changes masters from the one who was creating all his problems to the one who could solve all of his problems. So I was praying over the service yesterday, not yet knowing what God wanted me to minister on today. And I said, Lord, what's the one word you want to share with the people today during the message? And he said, tell them that when I'm allowed to reign supreme as Lord in their life, that no circumstance or situation cannot be dissolved. When God is allowed to reign supreme in your life, there is no situation and no circumstance that cannot be taken care of. Amen? So whatever you're going through today, it's taken care of. Allow Jesus to reign supreme in your life. So who are you allowing? Who are you allowing? We've got all the kids in here today, the teenagers. Who are you allowing? And what are you allowing to have the greater influence in your life? This man had a change of lifestyle because he met the one that could bring about the change. People came and saw him sitting and clothed in his right mind. The word right mind means to be able to exercise self-control. And when you are being influenced by evil spirits and you're allowing them to take hold of you and control of you, you are not in your right mind. You can't make right decisions. Amen? You can't, because you're under an influence that's greater than you are at that moment. But when the greater one steps in and begins to cause you to have a change of heart and begins to put you in your right mind, you know, create within me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, I can make right decisions because I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So what was, because of that change, what happened? The man had a change, and then he began to have a purpose for living. So when you are being under the influence of evil things and allowing that to be predominant in your life, you lose all purpose for life. You lose your sense of purpose. You have no purpose for living. But when that authority steps in and Jesus begins to step in, you regain your purpose. You regain your reason for living. You begin to think more clearly and more rationally. So he now wanted to follow the one who had brought deliverance to him. And Jesus said, you go home. As Scott said, he went and told everybody. You go home, tell your friends what great things the Lord has done. So if you're listening to this message today and you are here, or if you hear this message now on the internet or later, I have good news today. Not everybody's going to be excited about your change. The people in this town, we're not excited. Well, why do you say it's good news? Because you know something good's getting ready to happen. And you know something good is happening. People sometimes don't like to see change. Because why? It brings them out of their comfort zone. They were comfortable with that man running around crazy more so than they were happy for his deliverance. Because they had got him used to him seeing him that way. And so many times we're under the influence of evil influences. We see ourselves a certain way and we can't get beyond that. And he said, open your eyes and see yourself different than what you are right now. There is a greater purpose, and then you're just living life day to day and going through the motions. You have purpose and you have destiny, amen, to fulfill on this earth. So the people that were in that town, they told Jesus, you need to get out of here and you need to leave us alone. So they probably needed deliverance too, is the reason they wanted him to get out of town and leave them alone. Amen. So they had an eyewitness account of the deliverance of the man. The word reads that they saw, and it means to view attentively and to examine carefully. They found this man now in his right mind, talking rationally, because he had a greater influence on him that impacted his life so much that it changed him instantly. That's a quick work, amen? It changed him instantly. People don't like change, even if it is for the better, because it's comfortable sometimes to remain the same. So unless you get to a place where the desire of better, where the desire of not wanting to be like you are is greater than where you're at the moment, change will never happen. But you have to have a stronger desire to say, you know, I'm tired of being influenced by everything around me and allowing that to be predominant in my life. I want to go with what the Word says. I want to be influenced by the good. And then I can go out and be an influencer to somebody else for the good. So Jesus will not stay if he's not wanted. If Jesus will not stay if he is not wanted. Amen? So Jesus will not force himself into your life because he has been given to us as a gift. And a gift is made to be received. A gift is made to be received. So as long as we're here on this earth and breathing, we are going to have influence of good and evil.
until Jesus comes back, and it's going to be there because we are in a warfare. But it's our choice as to which one we allow to have in our lives. It's our choice which one we want to have predominance in our life. It's our choice which one we choose to be our master or not. So the influence is always going to be there, but it's according to which one we want to allow to dominate our lives. So if you're here today and if you've not been saved, I encourage you that today is the day that you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, and that you leave this place today and say, I choose to be influenced by the good, and even though there's evil there, I choose not to be influenced by evil. Amen. So let's stand this morning. If you have a prayer request, just lift your hands this morning. Father God, I just thank you for your word today that lights our path, and you always give us just enough word for we're on. And for the authority that you have given unto us, Lord Father, and we choose to be led by the Spirit and not by our flesh. We choose to allow the influence of good to have predominance in our life. And I pray over everyone in this place today, Father, from the youngest to the oldest, especially our young people today, Father God, that has been brought up in a world so different than from what the older generation was. I just ask you to give them peace, Father, and that they would be surrounded by people of good influence, that they would surround themselves with friends that will have a good influence on them, Father God. And I just speak to them today in the name of Jesus that they have purpose, that they lead a life of purpose, that you have purpose for them. And I thank you for that today. Every prayer request today that's upon the hearts of these people, I thank you, Lord, that we come into agreement with your word that by the stripes of Jesus they are healed, they are delivered, they are saved, and every need they have met in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the quick work you're doing, that you've redeemed the time for our sake. And we thank you for that the glory of the Lord shall be seen in our land. And we thank you for that, Lord, that it's a new season and a new time. And I speak blessing and favor over these people right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, as they go from this place, that they are highly favored of you, that they are blessed to be a blessing, that they are healthy, wealthy, and wise, and everything they set their hands to prospers. And we thank you for that today, Father, that you've built us up with your word today. And we leave this place today, Father, fueled up with your word. For the King of Glory has set among us today. And we praise you and we thank you for that. Bless this food for the nourishment of our bodies and for a time of fellowship this afternoon, Father. We just thank you for it, that you're God of more than enough. In Jesus' name, we want to welcome everybody to stay today for food and for fellowship. Everybody is welcome to stay. Amen.